Good morning, everyone. And I think this is our 80th Dissipation of Glamour webinar. So we've been at it for quite a while at a time when it's very necessary. And I'd like to welcome you all, of course. And you know how it goes. I only do this once because I can't. After we start, do that. So Alexandra, hi, and Anne, and Anne-Marie, Annette, Antoinette, Catherine, Deborah, Gregory, John, Karen, Lulu, Margot, Marianne, Marissa, Martha, Michael, Suzanne, or Susan, maybe it is, yeah, Susan, and Suzanne, okay, and Zenaide, hi, and we are backed up here by Joe, who is helping us, and BL, it's the wee hours of the morning for her. So, you know, we're putting a lot of things in the chat box for you. We've been having our Blue Rose Mystery Week here, and Tui and I decided, you know, that even though it's largely for the Blue Rose, the material is such that everybody can really benefit from it. So we have these programs, meditations and ceremonies and commentary and discussion on the first three initiations and meditation on the first three initiations and so forth. It's all up on YouTube, or most of it is up on YouTube, and is probably by now going to be close to 14 or 15 programs. I don't know exactly. I'm trying to keep up with it. So you are, if you've missed some of that and you're interested in some of that, you can go to YouTube, and Joe has put or is putting in the chat box the YouTube link for you. You know, there's a lot going on for us on YouTube. And as I say, we've got something like, you know, 2,000.
Older.
I hear my voice from somewhere. Okay. We have about 2,000 programs up there, and that's just the beginning. There's so many that have been created by the University of the Seven Rays, or for the Moria Federation, which are not up yet at all. And we have a lot of other programs that we really can't put on YouTube, and they are up on Makara. So you have a strong repository of material to study. Sometimes I think we're all involved in one big study group in these years prior to the conclave of 2025, towards which we look so eagerly. And we've got 7 years to really do the best we can with the second installment of Master DK's teaching through Alice Bailey, 30 years work, fantastic work. Assembling this as soon as we possibly can, and assimilating it so that we can apply it, and then he gives us something more, and we continue to work on that. We have some, you know, guests here. We're having the Mystery Week and more coming today, and we're very happy about that. And good morning, Risto. Good morning. Okay. So some of our work a little later will be, it will be in English and in Finnish both. But I often find that if I'm given the English and then the Finnish follows, I have a little time to digest what I've just been given. So it works out well for me. Now, I also want to say today is the day of the full moon. It's that blood moon. And there are these sequences of signs and portents in the skies and all that kind of thing. I don't think the world is disappearing here. At the same time, we do live in perilous times, and there's so much glamour affecting humanity at this time. So we're doing our very best in our own little way, according to the Tibetan, to attack that glamour by the methods that we have been given. And very appreciative that you join together to help with this process. It is an esoteric method, and you kind of wonder, well, how can it be effective? But in fact, it can be among the most effective in attacking this enemy of truth. So Joe has also put in the box the live link on YouTube, where you can at 7 o'clock tonight GMT, and that means we're starting at 10 o'clock here in Finland. You can join us, and the full moon I think is at 8:20 and 15 seconds, something like that, GMT, and here in Finland 11:20 and 15 seconds. They're very close. If I'm missing a minute or two, it'll all be straightened out before long. So lots going on, really, because this time of the Sirius Festival is so important. Now, you know, Olivia and Tuya and I started this thing some time ago. Tuya has been pushing for these programs like forever. And Tuya, is there anything you want to say before I get launched into things here? I'm not sure. Tuya is extremely busy preparing all these meditations and so forth. But I don't see Olivia right now, unless I'm just missing it. I don't. But Tuya, if there's anything that you wish to say, you're most welcome to do that. And otherwise, I start a little alignment for us. Okay. Okay. Let's do that. We'll have a little alignment. So, we have gathered together. And in the silence, we feel our energy growing. The wholeness of our association, the unity of our association. And we come together in the site of the ashram, and especially Master DK's ashram at this point. It's a big training ashram for many of us who are on various rays. And our intention is to cooperate in the task of dissipating glamour. There's a lot of glamour, and we're working right now on that glamour of personality. Now, Master DK tells us, take the eyes off the little personal self. Take the eyes off what we think we are so often, and mistakenly think we are, and find the real self behind the scenes, literally behind the scenes. And so that's what we're going to do. And week after week, whenever is possible, for Tuya and me, we broadcast this to give us the opportunity to meditate together. It isn't always possible. Sometimes we're traveling, and sometimes the equipment is acting up and so forth, but we try to make this increasingly possible. Now today, well, let's just close it with an ohm, this little alignment. Today, I do have to stop at 9:30, which is 6:30 GMT, because we start our discussion of the 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th initiations. Oh, goodness. It's just very introductory, you know, at 10 o'clock finish time and at 7 o'clock a.m. GMT. And we have a certain amount of flexibility that we need here because we've got people on the ground and not everything works exactly like clockwork the way we can do it if it's simply a broadcast or a webinar. But that this is a webinar and that will be a broadcast. So we hope you're able to join us, and the link will be there. And if you have trouble with the link, as Joe advises, put the link in your browser, cut and paste it rather than trying to click on it. And then you should see what we're attempting to broadcast on YouTube and what we will make available in our playlist, which Joe is also putting up. So good. Now, you know, we are reading through the Glamour book, just the way when we do the reappearance of the Christ meditation, Tuya has begun the very necessary process of reading through the reappearance of the Christ. And our tendency also is we're doing the Soul of Nations work, and we're doing a lot of reading in the Destiny of the Nations. That was Sophie our Chihuahua, I trust. That kind of sound can only come from that little dog. Okay. We have a real zoo.
I'm sorry.
It's quite okay. We have three chihuahuas and two new cats. And what I've learned is there is a difference between dogs and cats. Now, this particular learning is coming late in my life, but they seem to be coming closer to getting along. And but you'll always know where Sophie is because she snores constantly. One of those things. Tuya, did you want to say anything before I launch into the reading?
No, welcome to everybody, whatever is going on. And just to note that because we are in the living situation here, we may have some changes very suddenly, so we cannot inform them. But we try to follow the schedule, what we have been sending forth.
Yes, when there are changes, I try to put it up on YouTube. And also there's a little kind of chat box in the broadcasting box, and I try to keep that live and let you know what kind of variations may be occurring. But you know, we are working so much now with the Blue Rose sisters and Shiva brothers. It's called the Sisterhood, but it has the Shiva brothers also. And it's I think, in my estimation, it has a lot to do with the different traditions of helping the Christ to be born in the heart and mind, not only of the participants, but of many other people that we can help, and the growing of that Christ consciousness. So I would say the growing of the Christ consciousness into a full flowering, this is what we're attempting to do and to be the vessels for that birth and for the growing and the maturity and then the full development of the Christ consciousness eventually. That's the purpose of the Blue Rose Sisterhood. But we just thought, well, there's so much going on that would be of value to you, whether or not you're a member, whether or not you're a Blue Rose sister or a Shiva brother, that we just want to share it. And by the way, if you are interested in participating in the Blue Rose Sisterhood, please let Tatuya and me know about that, and we'll fix that up for you. Okay, now let's, all I have to do is find out where we are. This was the last paragraph that we read last time as we were ending Doggy, Dissipation of Glamour number 79, and this is number 80 coming up, and we have the academic reading number 20 coming up. But just for a little transition and for the sake of continuity, we will read a little bit along these lines. So we said, or he said, in the process of dissipating glamour, the way of the greatest potency is to realize the necessity to act purely as a channel for the energy of the soul. Okay, so, you know, let the light through, first translucence, and then we become transparent, as he said, like a sheet of glass. If the disciple can make the right alignment and consequent contact with his soul, the results show as increasing light. The light pours down and irradiates not only the mind, but the brain consciousness. Now remember, our alignment in general that we're trying to achieve at this time in our development is soul, mind, brain. Soul, mind, brain. So even into the brain consciousness, the light pours. He sees the situation, often the glamorous situation, more clearly. He realizes the facts. He realizes the facts of the case, what's happening. He realizes the facts of the case as against or as opposed to his vain imaginings. And so the light shines upon his way. Now he's talking to all of us, and that's what we're doing, especially between the first and second initiation, when the major part of glamour is attacked and dissipated, but we're not quite finished there, not by any means. There's still more hanging over, even after the second degree, even while we're working on illusion, which is our ability to misinterpret even the truth, just get it wrong in our mind. So the light shines upon his way. He is not yet able to see truly in the larger sweeps of consciousness, like a master can see, and even like Alice Bailey could begin to see, as the Tibetan was dictating to her. She says, I saw things beyond, you know, beyond what the Tibetan was putting in the books. I just saw some amazing vistas. The group glamour and, of course, the world glamour remain to him as yet a binding and bewildering mystery. I mean, we're still in prison, and our hands are bound, and our mind is bound, and we're not free of it, and we're mystified by it, and we're in all the trees and caught in the forest, but it's getting better. But as his own immediate way, your own personal glamours, your own difficulties, as they become clear, and he stands relatively free from the fog of his ancient ancient what? Ancient and distorting emotional miasmas. You know how he stands free of them. You know how emotions can lead us towards a bias. We choose on the basis of whether we like something or we don't like something. And that's called the glamour of sentiment. And sometimes we're going to have to work on that glamour of sentiment, because it's not about whether we like something or don't like something. It's what is that counts. So that's one of the very first eliminations we have to achieve if we're going to work together as a group. Eliminate, I like this, I don't like that, especially when it comes to the personnel that's involved in the group. So here's the method. Alignment. It all begins and ends with alignment, okay? Alignment, contact with his soul, and then steadfastness are the keynotes to success. So that's our little bridging idea. And it's really good advice. And we're all involved in straightening out our relation to what is not true and trying to substitute for it what is true, and thereby overcome our glamours and our distorting tendencies. I sometimes think, you know, that Libra is a really important sign when it comes to glamour, because Libra is all about right proportion, an adjusted sense of right proportion. You see things as they are rather than how you wish they were or how you fear they are. We can be afraid of something and it's not like that at all. And we can hope for something and wish for something and it's not like that at all. But with Libra, we see the thing as it is. Now, actually, I put in here, I think maybe Alex gave me or someone gave me this link. Obama had a very powerful speech, I suppose, in honor of Nelson Mandela, who obviously was a worker with hierarchy and, you know, maybe certainly an initiate of some kind, and certainly under the inspiration of Master Moria, and he's such a good counterbalance even now to what is going on in terms of lying and distorting and manipulating and all of those personality attitudes, which I'm trusting that the soul of humanity, and especially at this time the soul of the United States, would just throw all that stuff out, because it doesn't belong when we're considering the progression of humanity into new and better ways. It's very obvious that people are afraid, always on the threshold of some new possibility. Fear will often come up. Do I dare to go ahead? Do I dare lose what I've been holding on to? This is the issue, you know. The good old days look better and safer, and we feel more secure, but really, we're just about going backwards when we do that, and we are rejecting our opportunities. And we stand at a point when opportunity is staring humanity in the face. And the impulse towards the acceptance of that opportunity is now so strong that no matter what the other side puts up, you know, the so-called counterforce, no matter what the counterforce puts up, we will go through it. But it's going to take some real effort on the part of many, many people who have truer values rather than false, personal, limited values. And that will involve us, of course. All right, so let's go on a little bit. Like I say, I have to make sure that I stop maybe a little sooner than I've been stopping on these, because we have an ongoing schedule here with the Blue Rose Mystery Week. Every serious full moon, every serious Leo festival, we've been holding these mystery activities. The mysteries are going to be restored to us, we are told, in the coming years. So we have kind of a mystery week, and we focus a lot on initiation. So as DK says here, it will be apparent to you that small groups such as this, you know, it was just a group of 9 people, and not even that many in the beginning, if established in different countries and cities, and if successful in their personal activities, meaning, you know, straighten out the group astral body and the group interaction and all that, if they're successful there, they could play a most useful part. Such groups would have 2 aspects to their endeavor. They would have to wrestle with group glamour, which creeps inevitably into group life through the instrumentality of the group members. In other words, try as we might, we're going to bring some group glamour into our group life. Just can't help it, because we are not yet enlightened human beings. When we take the third initiation and we experience this great enlightenment, maybe things will be better. So the glamour within the group, we've got to deal with that. Their united personal glamours, think about this, provide the open door through which group glamour can enter. So put together all the glamours that we have in an individual sense, then the group glamour can enter. Now he gives an example, because there were a couple of people, they had a strong sixth ray. Nothing wrong with the sixth ray, it's very needed. But these people had a strong sixth ray. Both of them had sixth ray personalities, both of these people. Okay, an instance of this can be seen in this group. When glamour entered through the medium of LTSK, he was that third ray soul and sixth ray personality, and swept IBS into its vortex of force. So here, the ray charts are right down there. I put them in blue, and notice the sixth ray personality of each of these people. Plus, in the case of IBS, a double sixth ray, and she had a lot of Sagittarius also, you know, which emphasizes the sixth ray. So anyway, this glamour, and I think the glamour was a lot about, oh, I'm getting messages from the Tibetan, and he says this. And really, it was a thought form of the Tibetan, not the Tibetan at all. And that thought form was on the astral plane and was giving what the Tibetan says, good words of mediocre cheer. It's kind of funny, meaning, keep it up, you're doing a good job, you're wonderful, you know, just keep on, I'm right behind you, you know, good words of mediocre cheer, but nothing real. So anyway, it was overcome, this glamour was overcome, fortunately, leaving you all the richer and more united because of the strong stand in love taken by the other group members. So, you know, the love energy came out and solved, helped to solve the problem. By the way, LTSK and IBS were damaged in the process because they let in these influences and there was a etheric problem and they needed repair work and healing work and all that kind of thing. So anyway, the group members took a stand in love, and now he's talking to LTSK. Personally, LTSK was a major finance person for the Alice Bailey books. He put up a lot of money, and the books came out, and IBS was an opera singer and a teacher of voice who had such a powerful effect on her students, the blast of outgoing power, that she was driving her students away from her, because that not measuring the energy coming from her and its effect on others. Interesting. So anyway, may I remind LTSK and IBS of their deep indebtedness, how much they owe to the love of their brothers. The group love protected them. IBS, maybe a more mature disciple than LTSK, IBS has gone a long way in freeing herself from certain aspects of glamour. LTSK, he was always falling into glamour, is also freer than he was, but still has much to do. It is always difficult. Now, he's a third-race soul, okay? It's always difficult for the third-ray person to cultivate the intuition, because the first thing is, let me think about that. You know, too much mind activity, and you shut out the intuition. So, going on here, the apparently profound wisdom of the apparently profound, maybe it's not profound, the apparently profound wisdom of the manipulative and devious science of the intelligence inherent in matter often prevents the entrance of true wisdom. And there were not many third-ray souls in the Tibetan group, as I'm thinking, really only two. And, you know, it was mostly first and second-ray souls. So prevents the entrance of truism of the illumined mind. And now this gives you an example of how we are responsible for ourselves. And even the master may not know what's happening. Like I talked to you the other day with the disciple RVB, and the Tibetan said, you have made more progress in the last period than either your soul or I thought you could. So, you know, a lot is up to us, right? 6 months ago, he says, I felt that it was probably impossible for LTSK to free himself from the glamour in which he habitually walked. Today, a little more light shines upon his way, and he may, if he frees himself still further from his self-generated thought forms. That's always the danger with the third ray. You think, you keep on cooking up all these thought forms. You love your own thought so much that truth takes a back seat, okay? If he frees himself still further from his self-generated thought forms and makes the needed grade. Now, the needed grade in the case of LTSK was the first initiation. He was the one disciple who did not go through the first initiation. Out of all those 50 disciples, whatever, he did not yet go through the first initiation. So that's what DK means by making the needed grade. And DK used to say, look, you're in a room, it's a dark room. There's one little window, rather high up. That window is dirty. It keeps on getting fogged up. You cannot see through the window. Clean the window. So LTSK is using this imagination to clean the window, see? The window of perception, so he can, so the light can come in and not, and that he does not live just in his glamorous world. I think the glamour was all about being a famous scientist or something like that. It was the period when Einstein and relativity and all that was coming in very strongly. And LTSK wanted to be a scientist. But DK said, look, you can't work that way. That's not your dharma. You're not capable. Your personality is not right for it. You're barking up the wrong tree, you know. There's nothing there. You can't do that. Okay, when group glamour has been somewhat dissipated, now that's our first job. When we get together to dispel glamour for the world, we have to eliminate our own glamours so we have a good instrument. That's the first job. When group glamour has been somewhat dissipated, and the group can walk in the lighted way with freedom, then will come the time when the group can be trained in group alignment, group contact, and group steadfastness. Now we're jumping right into that, you know. We don't know each other personally so much. All over the world, we're getting together. We don't know ourselves personally. We don't have to interact on the personal level. We're, for better or for worse, we're skipping that stage. And we're getting right into what he talks here about group alignment, group control, and group steadfastness. We should not assume that we have gotten rid of all of our glamours. Personal glamours. We should not assume that because no doubt we have not. Okay. So, but then at this next stage, when we've handled our group glamours, we can begin the definite and scientific task of attacking world glamour. Now, notice there was a lot of preparation for that. And the question is, did the group ever really get to the task of attacking world glamour? These groups of nine people, they started out with good intentions, but did they ever really fulfill the objective of the group? Now, one good thing that really came out of it is that Master DK wrote down their instructions, which were made into books. And so we have those. Glamour, World Problem, Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, and a lot on healing, education in the New Age. All of these were meant to guide these groups, or at least they could. It is of interest in this particular group. You know, Master DK is only one master, and other masters maybe are attempting the experiment. So it is of interest in this particular group to be reminded that this is part of the activity now being undertaken by certain people in the new group of world servers. Now, the full membership in the new group of world servers is the second degree. So these people who have achieved the second degree, they're supposed to be looking out for others who are coming along and are achieving the first degree or the second degree, and encourage them and train them and so forth. But the real member of the new group of world servers has taken the second degree. And then there are other higher in their third degree and fourth degree that are like the nucleus of it all. So certain people in the new group of world servers are undertaking this work through the emphasis in the world of this is, you can see how DK is planning to work. Through the emphasis in the world of certain basic ideas, such as goodwill and mutual interdependence, we would call it internationalism. And you know how many people are against internationalism and globalism. They want their own country. X, Y, and Z comes first. They don't want the international perspective. Okay, so we're still not there yet. But anyway, through the emphasis in the world of certain basic ideas like goodwill and mutual interdependence, much is being done to dissipate the glamour in which the people of the world are walking. Now, it was like this, it was a balance, you know, in the 1930s when this was happening, Germany was coming up, Italy was coming up with the fascists, Japan was coming up, and they were emphasizing just the opposite. We are number one, and we don't care about the rest of the world. So it was going to be a real battle between these forces, and it resulted in the Second World War. So everyone has to deal with glamour. Okay, wait a second. It is not the function of every server to form part of the massed attack on world glamour, which is now getting underway. You know, if you have a lot of sixth ray, it puts you in touch with the astral plane and you pretty well need it. I don't think there was anybody in that glamour group that didn't have a strong sixth ray. Even a person who was first ray soul, fifth ray personality, fifth ray mind, a scientist, right? But the sixth ray astral body made it possible for him to work in this way, puts him in rapport. But DK says, not everybody, not every server is meant to do this, to attack the world glamour. Everyone has to deal with glamour in his own personal life, but functions and activities differ. And now he talks to this group, group number two. Yours is the work of the trained observers, and that training takes much time. More time than we have now, really, if it's going to be done right. At present, many of you do not recognize glamour when it meets you. That's the big problem. You don't see the glamour. You don't recognize it and envelops you. I love the word, you know. You're just walking in glamour and you don't even know it. It's so habitual, so usual. It is only by its effects that you eventually know it for what it is. Bad effects, war, separation, lack of opportunity, lack of education. I mean, you know, look what's going on in certain countries where if a woman wants to get education, there's going to be forces that are out to kill her because she dares to educate the mind. Now, what kinds of forces are those? And they wave a book in the air and they say, hey, this is the book that tells us that we can do this. And we have to be faithful to this book, and Western education is bad, blah, blah, blah. That's very heavy, very thick glamour, very thick. So the effects will show. The time must come when your processes of observation Now notice this, this is all about seeing things. When your processes of observation are so keen that you will recognize it, glamour, in its true nature before it immerses you and engulfs you and produces those conditions which enable you to say later, why did I allow myself to be glamoured? Why was I so deluded? Well, we didn't see sharp enough. We didn't see when it was happening. Okay, now, so it's a big job. It's a difficult job. It's a dangerous job because the world illusion is so thick on the astral plane. And of course, when the Christ comes, he's going to really lead an attack on that kind of condition. So I'll tell you what, you know, being aware that our time is limited, what I'm going to do at this point is I've got to kind of call this the end of doggy number 80. And I think this is academic reading. Okay, that's not it. Academic reading number 20, I think, ACR 20. And today is the 27th, full moon day, blood moon day. And I don't know what page we're on here, if anybody sees that. Okay, we're on page 38, making our way through the program. Now. And now we're going to have the beginning of doggy number 81, academic reading 21, and it'll be on, you know, hopefully Tui and I'll be able to handle this, the 3rd of August. We'll let you know we have some travels ahead of us. 3rd of August, 2018. And we'll begin in the same place. Okay, so I'm going to make this big and invite you to share some thoughts or questions, a little bit, not a lot, because unfortunately our time is not what it could be, because we have a lot to do in these last two or so days of the Blue Rose Mystery Week. And we have to try at least to adhere to our schedule, although I think, you know, well, we've been doing the best we can, and we're usually not more than a half hour off. Hopefully. All right. So we have now studied a little, not a lot, but a little, but some interesting subjects. And I'll make this smaller, quite a bit smaller. And we'll see whether you can get the idea and see what is necessary. Now, do you have any thoughts come to you on the basis of what we've been discussing, or any questions, or in general about the field of occultism, spiritual occultism, because there is the other kind too? And from any point, you can reach any other point. So any kind of a question or thought is fair game at this point. Okay, so I'm going to take a look here. And Alex, could I speak about the lunar eclipse blood moon tonight visible here in the UK? Okay, and the meaning. Also, I've sent by a friend a list of do's and don'ts during the eclipse from India, maybe. Are there do's and don'ts, or is this glamour, aside from the do or meditating, is a lunar eclipse? No, I don't think a lunar eclipse is a sinister event at all. Matter of fact, it's the symbol, in a way, of eclipsing the lower tendencies which lead backwards towards lunar life and towards the life of the previous solar system. Now, the only thing about this particular eclipse is that Mars is so very close to it. Mars is right there near the moon. And you can see that if you just, I think it's in the same degree, something like 4 degrees of Aquarius. Let's see, if I were to try to, okay, let's see if I can try to do this. Well, let's see, let's see if the eclipses show on this particular thing. They do, but they're so small. But down here, you have Mars at 4 degrees. Here it is, and it's moving retrograde. And the eclipse itself is at 4 degrees Leo, where the sun is, and 4 degrees Aquarius, where the moon is. Mars and the moon are together. Is that good? Is that bad? It all depends on who you are. Because Mars and the moon is a symbol for the battle which occurs and we overcome Mars. And the moon is veiling Vulcan. But on the other hand, if we just respond to it in a non-spiritual way, then Mars and the moon are all about personality over stimulation, and the vehicles are getting out of control and they are making war. Watch out for wars here. It's a blood moon making war against the spiritual impulses. So for disciples, I would say, you know, it can be a very good thing, this moon, and handling our own lunar issues. For a lot of people and nations, things may be stirred up into friction. Now, you know, we don't share the thought form with certain end of the world groups. We don't think that the rapture is coming in any dense physical way, you know, like in the late great planet Earth, and you're driving along and suddenly your car has no driver because you've been snatched up and raptured into heaven. We don't go with that, okay? And a lot of people do, and they are so tired of living. They don't even know why. They don't believe in reincarnation, but they're just so tired of living that they want heaven forever. So a rapture is a pretty good thing, you know. You get snatched up and you have the advantage of being one of those who is snatched, and everybody else is left behind. So you're special, which is nice, right? And only 144,000 get snatched. Unfortunately, this is even going to leave millions of Christians down there to suffer the complete destruction. But the 144,000, as DK explains, I think, in A Treatise on White Magic, is the number of petals in the entire etheric system, up to a point, not including the 1,000 petal lotus, plus 000, which stand for physical, etheric, astral, mental. It's the condition of the etheric body. The number of the saved, it's called. Now, the literal interpretation is just crazy. Only 144,000 are going to be saved. There's going to be a lot of unhappy believers that didn't get snatched up to heaven. Okay. But if they would interpret occultly, which one day they will, they'll realize that they will be saved. Their consciousness will be saved esoterically, when they have developed their full etheric system, which can receive the higher energies. That's a more reasonable interpretation. So we can expect agitation, conflict, friction between nations, and at the same time, on the part of the disciples, the determination to deal esoterically with these lunar retrogressive forces. going off to the left, as it were. And we have to learn how to do that. So the world is very tinderbox-like at the moment. One good flame and everything is burning. We already see that fires are everywhere. We're in a precarious situation at the moment. And finally, the disciples who know something about esotericism have to be able to help as they were not able to help. Sufficiently before World War II.
Michael.
Tuya. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, it's me. It is cutting. I don't know how it is going to the other people, but it has been cutting a little bit so that I have not been getting everything what is said. But about these times of the full moons, that is one of the methods what DK was putting forward, these approaches to full moon, these conscious approaches to full moon. In world traditions, we find these cultures when the full moon has been acknowledged, and these four stations of the sun, the equinoxes and solstices, that they are very potent times and important times. And why they are to be considered is that because these moments affect the Devic life. And as in the white side, there is the other side, the counterforce, which is using also these times. And always when something is happening in relationship to moon, that is time for the Black Lords to act. And why that is for us to be aware is that because these little elementals, they are so easily patterned and they are so easily captured by the mantras or using the sound. And in that sense have the effect, because humanity is so unaware and so blind that we don't see that reality at all, what is happening in the inner planes. That's why DK, I think it's one part of it is that DK has been asking us to be at present at exact time. Sometimes it is impossible, but certainly 95% one is able to do whatever time it is. It's just a question of understanding how important for us is to be available, that those ones who direct the energies and we should be the outer post for that to generate them forward and distribute them forward, is that we are there for to be used. And he's saying somewhere, I think in esoteric astrology, about the approaches to full moon and also that eclipses, that they are very special times. Was it that he was talking about they are affecting masses so strongly? But anyway, when we think about this full moon, that it is really related to Leo and to Sirius and these powerful energies where disciples should be gathered, where disciples should be available, because the average humanity cannot yet, but we should be. And then when this kind of eclipse is happening, it is the second longest of this whole century. Oh, this century has been very little time, but still it is.
I read the longest, yeah.
Yeah, some says longest and some says the second longest. But anyway, it's very long time. It starts 10:30 Finnish time, so it is 7 p.m. GMT, and it goes, was it 11:40? Yes, so it is the fullest in this full moon moment, of course, and in that sense, this year's full moon, Leo full moon, is extremely powerful. So that's why we should be gathered.
We will be meditating at that time, at the time when the eclipse is just starting to come into power. And it will mean for us as disciples a lot.
So DK talks about the DK talks about approaches to reality.
Yes.
Using these full moons, full moon times, that it is not only that moment when the full moon is, but start either 3 days or 2 days before the full moon or 1 day before the full moon. Choose your own practice, but we should be practicing as much as silence as possible to be all the time aligned. So not only those moments, but to really start to practice the approach to reality in conscious ways.
Good, very, very good points, Tuya. We have here, you know, after all, Leo Aquarius, it really is suggesting the dynamics of the new age. There's so many things in our lunar nature that we disciples can deal with, and we can help humanity deal with those tendencies within itself if we work properly in the occult sense. So somehow, you know, it's a very pressureful time. It's a time when a lot of energies are impinging. There's going to be also a coming up in the next month, a solar eclipse, I think, is coming. And a couple of those eclipses are on their way. Yes, on the 11th of August, and that is at 18 degrees of Leo. And here we have, we've just experienced on the 13th of July, another solar eclipse. So that was a little earlier, just a few days ago. We are really in a strong eclipse cycle. Now, the thing about eclipses, it's a bit like the top of the head and the base of the spine. It's a very ray one kind of alignment, and maybe the ray one nature of Earth as the base of the spine and the source of the will gets really stimulated, and that will can be used for good or for ill. There's no question that black magic involves the moon, and DK tells us that in a treatise on cosmic fire. Lunar magic is the magic of form, and it connects with the negative approach. So we're interested in the solar fires, solar magic. We're interested in white magic, which is the magic of the sun or the soul. And we will remember that, and the forces that we are trying to supplant by emphasizing the solar aspect of everything we are doing at these full moons and not emphasizing the lunar aspect at all. These are like full sun meditations, you might say. Okay, now let's see, we have another question or thought. A lot of questions, Anne, here. Quite a lot of questions, but because we have little time, I would like to ask only about the difficulty of the third ray to have, well, okay, eventually everybody has intuition, right? And once the abstract mind, which the third ray can develop very well, begins to be functioning properly, and you have a real planetary perspective concerning the patterns of energy which result in concrete things, then the buddhi and the intuition can really work. But at first, the third ray is so busy with action and many, many thoughts that it can deflect at first the intuition, just like the real concreteness of the fifth ray can deflect the intuition at first. But later, of course, you get brilliant intuitive conclusions by people who have trained their mind to stop the modifications of the mental nature, as it is said in the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. So new images with the colors for the senses and the egoic glow. Yeah, Tuya's figuring that out. She's been working hard on a new generation of these images, and she's figuring out how to make Master DK's images, which she has colored and added other things into, how to make them available to people so they can use them. So that is coming along. Yeah, lots of questions we have, of course. Now, if you join us, maybe you have been, I can't keep it all in my mind, but for our work with the Blue Rose Mystery Week, we have the opportunity on the side for the live chat. And although we can't talk, questions are asked, and we try to deal with them. So later these questions will come up, and just keep a note of what questions are important to you, and we'll deal with them. Anyway, intuition belongs to everybody, but there are just different ways of deflecting it and keeping it from being successful at first. There's all kinds of ways to block the soul, and there's all kinds of ways to block the downflow of intuition. And when you have a very, very strong third or fifth ray with a very, very active form-related mind, which is very sort of manipulative and interested in its own thoughts, it gets so busy that it's like a wall of busyness that blocks what can come through as the still small voice, you see, of the soul, or the voice of the intuition, which is even higher. So no one is going to be deprived of it. It's just a question of when we solve the difficulties associated with any ray as it blocks the higher faculties, and we all have ways of blocking the higher faculties. Okay, Anne. I'll tell you what, it's really time for us to begin our meditation, because we have to, usually we would go maybe half hour, 20 minutes more than I can or than we can this morning here. So we'll get right into it, and I appreciate your presence. And now we're going to work on our glamour formula. Let's see, where are we right now? I think I already did this. I think, yes, I did. Okay, very good. All right, that's when we meet again, provided we meet again. We'll let you know, and whether we're going to be involved in travels or not. But hopefully not, and we will hopefully meet in another week. All right, here we go. Our usual meditation. So let's just be in the silence at first, as Master DK recommends that we do. And that silence, which for smaller groups would be, let's say, 10 minutes long. Maybe one day we try it here too. That's to create more unity in the group, more synthesis in the group. And we're going to use our protective formula, the cross of divinity. So it's a long arm cross, kind of, and we'll use our mantra, and the two eyes. As a soul, I work in light, and darkness cannot touch me. I take my stand within the light. I work, and from that point, I never move. You see the light of that cross. It's a protection. It protects each one of us individually and the larger cross for the group. And we sustain that cross during this work. People are so easily overcome by glamour. They don't know what's happening, you know, and so much time is wasted and damage is done to their energy system. So we're going to blend the three lights. We know what to do. We lift up the vitality of matter to the mental plane. And to the light of mind, we fuse the two. The vital light of matter, lift it up to the normal mental plane, and the light of normal mind, we can think, we can reason, we can see. And we can do so with vitality and with energy. Two lights are one. And we reach up now imaginatively to the light of the soul, as if above the head. This is a real light, and we do bring it down imaginatively from the higher mind to the lower mind. And the light of the soul blends with the other two lights of normal mind and vitalized matter, and three lights are one. So from this triple light, we will extend our beam of light onto the astral plane. So let us say together the quote, and then follow by the sacred word three times. The light is one. And in that light, shall we see light? This is the light that turns the darkness into day. Okay, we are ready then to extend the beam onto the astral plane and to empower that beam and to use it as an organ of perception and an organ of dissipation as we encounter the glamours, the fogs, the veils, all those things which prevent us from seeing the truth. So, we visualize a great searchlight. We turn it on, individually and from the group and out onto the astral plane. It goes, encountering all those emotions and feelings and misleading tendencies. The group has a beam. And we use the formula as that beam is visualized. Radiance and power are we. We stand forever with our hands stretched out, linking the heavens and the earth. The inner world of meaning and the subtle world of glamour. We reach into the light and bring it down to meet the need. We reach into the silent place and bring from thence the gift of understanding. And thus, with the light, we work and turn the darkness into day. So we're connecting two worlds, the world of the soul, which is meaning, and this subtle world of our own creations, our own glamorous creations. And we're going to strengthen our beam with the spiritual will so that it can really do the job. And we say, with power upon its beam, the light is focused on the goal, which in this case is the dissipation of the glamour of personality. And we think for a moment about what this glamour has done in the world. What are the effects? There are many effects today. We think, what has been the result when the glamour of personality, we sometimes call it the cult of personality, is released upon the world? We have many leaders, and sometimes they are very self-important, and they lead their country in a separative direction. And they use methods which deprive the people of their own will. It's a dangerous glamour, and it's one that will become more prevalent as personality integration occurs. Now we're going to use our words of power. as we really begin to work as a group under protection with our beam of light, our will strengthened beam. The power of our united light prevents the appearance of the glamour of personality. The power of our united light negates the quality of this glamour of personality from affecting humanity. The power of our united light destroys the life behind the glamour of personality. And we're going to work in the silence for 5 minutes with intensity of purpose. And we'll see this glamour of personality being dissipated. Each in his own way working, but still working as a group. And so, under the protection of that cross, working with the beam, weakening the glamour, dissipating the glamour, preventing the glamour from having an effect upon humanity and individual human beings. So we begin this 5 minutes of silence. that together as a group, we have done some work to help end the separativeness of personality. That isolated condition which prevents cooperation under the light of the soul. And we will keep working at it. We withdraw our beam from the astral plane imaginatively. We're now focused on the mental plane. And we sound the Om three times, realizing that we have worked within the personality and especially on the astral plane, where the majority of trouble is at this time. So one for each vehicle, beginning with the mental vehicle and moving down. So illusion, glamour, and Maya are weakened just a little bit by our efforts, and we continue to project the beam of light in our own personal lives as we deal with our personal barriers to truth. Every one of us has some tendencies which are preventing our real effectiveness in work for the divine plan, and we continue to work individually and also for the wider picture. Okay, everybody, that's going to be it for now, because we have in a half hour, if we are on schedule, a discussion of the, well, we've discussed initiations 1, 2, and 3, and only superficially, and our discussion of initiations 4, 5, 6, or 7 will be on the surface at first, because they are not immediately practically relevant to us. But we will discuss. So we hope that y'all can join us in the chat box of the links you need. If your live link does not work, copy it and put it in your browser, and then it should work. And hopefully we can reach you through the broadcast. All of these programs will be made available to you in due time, and hopefully sooner than later. And remember, tonight, full moon, we start at 7 o'clock GMT, and the full moon is at 8:20 and 15 seconds PM GMT. And here, well, here in Finland, 3 hours later, but you figure it out according to your time zone. Okay. So thank you for attending. Appreciate your presence, and we'll see you before long, if all the technical stuff works to you. Did you want to say something? Okay. Maybe not. Thank you, Joe, for your support. And thank you. We had 24 attendees today. It's a good symbolic. Turn that off. If you want to speak, go ahead. Now you can speak.
Yes, I have two things going on, so I just wish you everybody good full moon day, and thank you.
I'm talking and I'm not on. It will be our usual service meditation, which Tuya leads tonight, and it will be over YouTube and not over the webinar, which cannot handle music. So all the best to everybody. And some of you we will see during the day as we discuss various things, and join us at the links that are provided for you in the chat box. And we, you know, just copy that and put it in your Word documents. And it's been sent to you, of course, probably numerous times. And so we'll see you there. And thank you for your work. Many blessings, lots of love, and we'll see you before long. Bye-bye.